Good morning, everyone. No. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thank you. I just wanted to make sure you're all awake. I'm not going to wing this like Kira just did. She's great with extempore speeches, but I have some prepared comments. Couldn't waste this opportunity, so I'm just going to say a few words, take a few minutes. First off, I'd like to welcome you all to the CUNY Graduate Center for what promises to be truly an exceptionally rewarding experience. Where else will you find a room full of so many diverse people from all sorts of different cultures and backgrounds all coming together to talk about something so vital and so essential, the future of Western Muslim world relations? This is also the perfect time to thank you for choosing to spend a beautiful Saturday in the center of New York City at this conference when you could have chosen to utilize your time and energy so differently. But by being present here, you are some of the few people who have realized that time is of the essence for all of us. Our elected officials continue to make risky legislation like the Patriot Act, which effectively isolates the Muslim community from being an active and enthusiastic member of American society. Religious extremists add flame to the fire by distorting holy scriptures and widen the chasm that was too wide to begin with. As if these actions weren't bad enough, a degree of insensitivity and indifference is affecting channels of communication between the Western world and the Muslim world as both peoples decide to keep to themselves. The question then becomes, where do we go from here? What does the future hold for us? I wish I had the answers. Only our collective wisdom and will to seek solutions can serve as a guide. Thankfully, today's proceedings will give us all an opportunity to indulge in some candid discussion, not just with experts, but people like you and I, those who have dreams and ideals and want to share them with others. That's also the story of my involvement with Americans for Informed Democracy, AID. Just by chance, while going through an email from the United Nations Association, I found out about a free Young Global Leaders Summit. Who cares what the conference was about? It was free, and there was free food. I just had to go. It was the best thing to happen to me in a long, long time. Enrolling in graduate school and having part-time internship and volunteering obligations meant I may have been stretching myself too thin. AID was actually a savior in many ways. By using its absolutely phenomenal logistical and human resources, AID helped me pull off some great events that people still talk about today and managed to get some media coverage along the way. The first AID conference I attended last year was eye-opening in other ways as well. A young college student was coordinating the whole endeavor. After observing her, I realized I didn't have to wait for other organizations to arrange conferences and events geared towards students and young adults. Instead, I took the initiative, and since then, AID has helped me develop professionally and personally, and for that, I will be eternally grateful. My conscience would never forgive me if I walked away from this podium or away from the conference, and I didn't somehow pass the torch on. I guess this is where my paternalistic mentoring side shines through. I hope you all can go back to your communities and pass on whatever you have learned here today. I hope you write op-ed pieces and letters to the editors of campus and community newspapers, demanding fair and just coverage of all things related to the Muslim world. I hope you all realize that because of the knowledge, motivation, and enthusiasm you possess, you are helping to ensure a more prosperous future for all people. I hope, if nothing, this conference can at least empower you all to think more critically about an issue which is not only of obvious importance to the Western or Muslim worlds, but also to modern civilization. Let's not think of it as a clash of civilizations, but as an opportunity for a meeting of the minds, as renowned historian Mark Rosenblum would put it. For those of you who are well-versed in history, you will probably remember George Santayana saying, "Those who cannot learn from history are doomed to repeat it." In this axiom, it is assumed that if history repeats itself, something obviously went wrong. Instead, I ask you all to think about a time when Muslims, Christians, and Jews not only lived with tolerance and acceptance amongst each other, but where these civilizations flourished, producing scholars and inventions and giving the term peaceful coexistence an entirely new meaning. Think about the time when the Moors ruled Spain and the famous Jewish scholar Maimonides wrote his texts in Arabic without fear of reprisal or ridicule. About the time when Christians and Jews were pivotal in the design and construction of the oldest and most beautiful mosques in the world. I challenge you all today to ponder over how we can revisit that part of our glorious legacy. Let it not remain a part of our forgotten past. Let us re-examine the past, learn from it, and then intentionally repeat it. Contrary to George Santayana's opinion, I think we all will welcome this repetition of history. I leave you with a verse from the Quran which has been instrumental in helping me spread this good word and fight this good fight. It says quite simply, "So tell the tale, perhaps they shall reflect." Thank you.
Thank you, Zeeshan. That was beautiful. Next, I will ask Adi Tellem, I hope I pronounced that correctly, to come up and speak about One Voice, which is a wonderful organization that can also provide you with resources to pursue these issues.
Good morning, everyone. Hi. Again, my name is Adi Tellem, and I'm here on behalf of the One Voice movement. First of all, thank you very much to AID for having me. I'm already impressed by this conference, and it's just started. I'm going to tell you very briefly about One Voice and then tell you how you can get involved on your campus. One Voice is a nonpartisan grassroots movement that is working to awaken the silent majority of Israeli and Palestinian moderates and acting as a platform through which they can seize back the agenda from violent extremism. We are run through parallel offices in Ramallah and in Tel Aviv, and we also have global offices in New York and London and Canada. We're a very young organization founded in 2002, but we already have a membership of over 210,000 in the region. We've organized hundreds of town hall meetings and rallies and workshops on the ground. We've also trained thousands of young people through our youth leadership program, which teaches young activists in the region things like community organizing skills, public speaking skills, conflict resolution, and nonviolence technique. These young leaders are the volunteer infrastructure of One Voice, and they help us organize on the ground so that we can demand accountability from political leadership to the will of the moderate majorities on both sides. The way that One Voice positions itself is also very unique. We are not a peace and love type organization or a leftist organization. In fact, our membership and our board really spans the political and religious spectrum. We appeal to people's enlightened self-interest because we explain to both sides that they're either both going to live with this cycle of violence and occupation, or they're both going to have to get out of it together. We also really try to reframe the conflict so that it's not necessarily one of Israelis versus Palestinians, but more so a conflict between the vast majority of moderates on both sides that, given the chance, would choose freedom and security and economic prosperity versus a small minority of violent extremists that have a disproportionate amount of power and are constantly able to derail the peace process because of this. A very exciting One Voice initiative that is brand new, that we just started last year, is our international education program. This is when we bring pairs of our young Israeli and Palestinian youth leaders to your campuses, to campuses around the world. As many of you know, this conflict is having a very dangerous effect on our campuses and in our communities. There's growing polarization between mainstream Palestinian and Jewish, Arab, Israeli, and Muslim groups over the conflict, and it's really leading to a vacuum of moderation. Campuses are becoming fertile breeding grounds for extremism and dehumanization and divestment campaigns, and this conflict is constantly used as an excuse for bad relations between these groups. And this atmosphere is being further exploited by groups with agendas of encouraging hate between East and West. Since the recent terrorist attacks in the Western world and the outbreak of war in Iraq, these interfaith and ethnic relations have been strained further. We've seen that dialogue groups and other well-meaning campus forums have been overshadowed. So we're using this new approach of bringing these pairs of activists with very nationalistic credentials, I might add, over. And we're succeeding in getting students who would normally never sit in the same room together to realize that they have more in common than they could have imagined. So these young leaders come over with the message that if they that live in the region and bear the consequences of the conflict can sit down together and communicate, then these campus groups can as well, and that they should channel their student activism into a force for progress. Now on to how you can get involved. We are again bringing the One Voice International Education Program to campuses again this year, including a big tour in New York. We could really use your help to organize these tours on your respective campuses. It's a very compelling program, very unlike the ones you've seen over and over again on your campuses. It's also a chance to put to use some of the things that you're going to learn in the conference today. So please come and find me after this session or after the next panel session. Again, my name is Adi. You can also give the AID staff your names or use the contact information on the flyer that's in your folders. And thank you for your time.
Thank you. And yes, there's a flyer, as Adi said, in all of your folders talking about One Voice a bit and giving contact information and email if you are interested in hosting one of these phenomenal events. So I just want to go through the schedule briefly so we have a sense of what will be coming up today. We have the first panel starting at noon, which will discuss improving Western Muslim world relations, kind of the broader picture, asking the questions, what is the long-term strategy for improving relations between the West and the Islamic world, and are the West and Islamic world currently on the right path? Then we'll have lunch from 1:30 to 2:30 in small rooms that will divide you up by region. I'll announce at the end of the panel so you can talk to people who maybe go to your school or live near you who you may have never met and over lunch, which we'll provide. Then from 2:45 to 3:30, I will conduct an organizing workshop on the toolkit that is in your folders also. It's a 5-page stapled document that goes through kind of every step on organizing a town hall event with our organization. Then we'll have the second panel from 3:45 to 5 on reporting on U.S.-Muslim relations, asking the questions, what is the role of media in improving Western Muslim world relations? And for each of those panels, each speaker will just speak briefly for about 7 minutes, and then we'll ask you to line up on either aisle to ask questions. So please be thinking of questions you'd like to ask the speakers, because I think it's a great opportunity to have an open dialogue back and forth.